Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
John, the 8th chapter, in verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." That's how we know if we're disciples. And who's a disciple of the Lord? Those that abide in his word. They continue, they remain in the word, in the word of God. He says, "You are my disciples indeed." Verse 32, "And you shall know the truth," because you're continuing in the word. And the word of God is the truth. And he said, "You shall know the truth," as you continue in it, "and the truth shall make you free." So as we continue in the truth, we're getting freer and freer and freer. And then notice these Jews, what they answered him. They answered in verse 33, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Now that's very interesting there, their response to him. Here Jesus is telling them something that's very exciting. He said, if you continue in my word, you're going to know the truth, and the truth's going to set you free. Praise God forever. Well, they got offended. They got upset about it. They said, "Free? Free? We haven't been in bondage to anyone. We're Abraham's descendants. Because we're Jews, because we're Jewish, because we're Abraham's descendants, we've never been in bondage to anyone." See, they had some ideas about themselves based on what they thought was the truth, on the word of God. But you see, a lot of folks, they just know enough of the word of God to be able to create a bunch of assumptions about God and about themselves. But they really don't know the truth. They really don't have the full counsel of God on it. And so here they are saying, you know, we've never been in bondage to anyone. Well, is that true? Is that a true statement? No. See, they assumed they were godly and free because they were Abraham's descendants, because of their connection to Abraham. But who you are is not based on who you know and what you have. It's based on whose you are. Whose you are. Who do you belong to? As we're abiding in his word, we belong to him, and that's what makes us free. That's what brings us in to liberty. So they just, you know, they thought, well, you know, we know Abraham. We're connected to Abraham. But that wasn't what made them free. Again, they assumed some things about themselves. They had a lot of assumptions, and there's a lot of people that they have, like I said, they know enough of God's word to create all kinds of assumptions about God, but they really don't know the truth. They really don't know God. So as we continue in the word, as we continue in the truth, that's when we get the full counsel of God, the whole counsel of God. And of course, we can't understand the word of God without the Spirit of God. He's called the Spirit of Truth. So we got to let the Spirit of Truth be the one that leads us and guides us into the truth of God's word, so that we're not going through life assuming things about God, assuming things about ourselves. I mean, they assumed some things about God. They assumed some things about themselves here. And of course, you know, as you read the Gospels, they assumed a lot of things about Jesus too. They have a lot of assumptions about him. And when we're talking about assumption, that word means a thing that is accepted as true or as certain to happen without proof. We live in a very opinionated society. We live in a society where people are full of opinions. They assume things all the time. And we look up the word opinion. It means a view of judgment formed about something, not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. So again, it's a lot like assumption. Assumption is a thing that is accepted as true or as certain to happen without proof. So, I mean, it's certain. In the person's mind that's assuming something, this is certain. This is the way it is. This is how it is. This is what happened. This is what's going to happen. And they believe it as though it is the truth. But it's an assumption. It's not based on the truth. And so when people begin to verbalize their assumptions, they are giving their opinion. And again, an opinion is a view of judgment formed about something not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. A lot of times people just assume things because of something they heard or what they saw. How many of you know you can't trust what you see? That's why the Bible teaches us we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, just recently, I came across a fair was going on, and my daughter was with me, so I said, well, let's go and walk through the fair. So we went through this fair, you know, in town, and there was a magician. And so he was over there doing magic tricks, sleight of hands. You know, his hands move quick, and, you know, it's amazing what they could do. I mean, he's got something in his hand. He puts it in this kid's hand. And the kid holds it out, and he closes the kid's hand, and next thing you know, something else is completely there, and the thing that was in his hand is in somebody else's hand, or he pulls it behind somebody's ear over here. I mean, it was pretty wild stuff, you know. And you're watching him, you know. You're like, all right, let's see how he does this, you know. You're looking for him to, and you can't see it. Even though you're watching him, you don't see him how he's able to pull it off. But the whole thing's a trick. And he's deceiving your eyes. He's causing you to think that something's happening that's not really happening. And so when we walked away, I told my daughter, I said, now, if a man can do that, how good do you think the devil can do that? He's been around for a long, long time. And he is the deceiver. He is the father of lies. So if this man over here can pull stuff off right in front of your eyes. I mean, you're looking at him and bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. He does this thing and you think, how in the world did he do that? If he can trick you, how much more can the devil or demons deceive us? You cannot trust what you see. That's why when it even comes to doctor's reports. I mean, if the deceiver is anything like that magician, he can make a report look like, he can make a body part look like something that it's not. He can make an x-ray look like it's this, but it's not really that. It's actually a rabbit. It's not a tumor, it's a rabbit, you know. Whatever. I mean, he can make you think the doctor's convinced, everybody's convinced, and then we go through this therapy that ends up killing us. I'm just saying, I'm not saying anything against doctors, but you can't be led by them. You can't be led by humans. You can't be led by people's opinions based on their science, based on their education, based on what has happened to 1,000 patients before you. Based on this, based on that, that this is what happens when we see this, this is what happens, this is what happens next. And so they give you all these reports and they tell you this is what you have to do. You have to be led by God. Now, God will use medical science. God will use doctors. He's anointed doctors. He's given them wisdom and he uses them mightily. But you cannot trust in them. You cannot trust in people. You can't even trust in yourself. You can't trust in what you think and what you see. You have to trust in God. You have to trust in the Word of God. You have to put your trust in the Spirit of Truth. And we have to build our life on this. We do not want to build our life on the opinions of other people. We don't want to build our lives on how we see it. Or how it feels, or how we really think. I mean, there's people who have been convinced about things, and they were completely wrong. Completely wrong. And yet they were totally convinced. Totally convinced. that this is what happened. This is the way it is. I saw it with my own eyes. Yeah, we saw a lot of things watching the magician with our own eyes too. But it didn't turn out to be the way we thought it was. See, you can't go by what you see. That's why we have to walk by faith in the Word of God. We have to follow the Spirit of faith. Holy Spirit is referred to not only the Spirit of truth, but he's referred to as the Spirit of faith over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think verse 13. So we have to be led by him. We have to follow him. We cannot trust in ourselves. And so we've got to be slower to speak and not be quick like the world is to give our opinion. And like I said, we live in a very opinionated society. And then we just talked about what opinion is. It's a view of judgment formed about something, not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. And to be opinionated is conceitedly assertive and dogmatic in one's opinion. You know, there's people that they don't just go, well, I think maybe it's, they're like, this is the way it is. And I mean, they're dogmatic about it. And they are assertive, they're aggressive, and they push their opinion as though this is the way it is. We see a lot of that in the news these days. It's not really news, there's just all these commentaries. And they'll take one thing that happened in the government or something, and then they'll run that the entire day, just one opinion after the other. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so what do you think? And what do you think? They have this board of people, and everybody's giving their opinion. I think. If you really listen, I think you'll hear a lot. I think. I almost wonder if they're told to say, I think, you know, so that, I don't know. But they all say, I think. What do you think? I think. And then you're sitting there watching the TV go, no, I don't think so. I think. And then we join in the thinking party of what I think. And next thing you know, it's opinions flying around. Everybody's giving their opinions. Everybody's giving their feelings. And people get bold about it. I mean, they got strong feelings. They're assertive in sharing their opinion and pushing it on everybody else. And it's all around us all the time. And we got to protect ourselves that we don't slide into that and become a part of this opinionated, arrogant society. Because, like I said, the word opinionated means conceitedly assertive. People are conceited. That's a prideful thing. And we don't want to be caught in that. We don't want to be conceited people. We got to stop and ask ourselves before we say something, what does the word say about that? What does the word say about that? What's the Spirit of God saying about that? We hear his voice. He lives on the inside of us. Some say, I don't think he's saying anything. Then you're not either. If he's not saying anything, why are you? Right? The Bible says over in the book of Peter, it says, if anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. Or another translation, NIV, I think, says, let him speak the very words of God. If we're going to say something, let's make sure it's in line with God's word. Let's make sure it lines up with his word. We don't want to just have a bunch of opinions. And that's what the Bible means when it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, our whole way of thinking needs to be transformed by the word of God. We need to be changed in our thinking. And God's word could be so in our hearts and so in our minds that it thinks for us. It takes in everything, and everything has to go through the filter of God's word that you have filled your heart, soul, and mind with. You fill yourself up with God's word, and it acts like a filter. Everything goes through that filter. And now, your opinion is not just your opinion, but it is discernment from the Holy Spirit. That we should never have done this. We should never have gone into this war. We should never, you know, people just throw out all these opinions. We should never have done this. We should have done this. What is the Spirit of God saying? There's been some things we got in prayer that the Spirit of God led us to speak out. We spoke by the Spirit of God in prayer some things that we saw that happened. It actually happened in the political arena. There were some things that took place that to this day people are like, we should never have done that. That should never have happened. But we know it should have happened. And I said, we know. Because the Spirit of God actually led us. We weren't looking for it. Spirit of God brought that up before it was even an issue. Before it was even a political issue, Spirit of God brought it up to us. After we prayed it out, spoke before it, then it became a big political issue. So we weren't just reacting to the news. We weren't just reacting to what other people were saying or doing. We were getting things by the Spirit of God. So to this day, I know exactly how that should have went. Because it was by the Spirit of God. It's not an opinion. But you got people, well, yeah, I believe that. That sounds right. That sounds right. I agree with that. Shh. There's a lot of things that sound right that are dead wrong. There's a lot of things that look right, but they are completely wrong. How do we know the difference? We've got the truth. We got to continue in the truth. We got to continue in the word. We got to abide in the word of God and not get all entangled in all these opinions and strong opinions, strong ideas that people have that they put forth as fact, as the way it is. If we don't know, if we don't have a word on it, if we don't have anything by the Spirit on it, then we don't have anything on it. That's a good rule to live by. Don't esteem your opinion. I said, don't esteem your opinion. Esteem the Word of God. Don't trust how you feel about it. Trust what God says about it. What's He saying about it? What's He saying about it? You know, the Spirit of God's talking. Spirit of God's involved in our daily life. And something that the Spirit of God spoke to my heart one time when I thought I needed to know something, He said, do what you know to do. It was a revelation that came to me. Do what you know to do, and you'll know what you need to know when you need to know it. I believe I'll know what I need to know when I need to know it. If I'm obedient, if I'm doing what I know to do, I'll know what I need to know. So if I don't know something, then I know something. That I don't need to know that something yet. But I'm not going to add my opinion. I'm not going to add my opinion. But the reason why opinions are so popular is because people in our society have gotten away from absolute truth. They've gotten away from the Word of God. You understand, America at one time, the Bible was the main textbook in schools. Now you're not allowed to bring your Bible to school without causing a stir, at least. Prayer, the Bible, the Word of God, these were things that our nation at one time was founded on, was rooted in. But folks have drifted away, our nation as a whole has drifted further and further away from the truth. And when you get further and further away from the truth, then what do you have left? But people's opinions, people's thoughts on it, people's ideas. I remember there was some television show, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember they would end the broadcast with, you know, about writing in and said, give us your opinion. We want to know. I remember that to this day. I don't remember the broadcast, but that statement, give us your opinion. We want to know. Call in to our radio station. Give us your opinion. We want to know. I just want to tell you what I feel about it. Tell you what I think, my viewpoint. And it's become so popular because people have gotten away from the truth, which is what Isaiah the prophet talks about over in Isaiah chapter 59. Man, we got to be sticklers for the word. I mean, we just got to have that attitude. What does the word say? You know, Jesus said that himself. He said, I only say what I hear my father say. I only say what I hear my father say. In fact, back there in John 8, how he got off on talking about you'll know the truth will set you free, is the Jews were marveling that, you know, he understood Scripture like he did, seeing that he hadn't gone to seminary. He didn't go to school with them. So they were trying to figure that out. And Jesus had said to them, he said, my doctrine is not mine, but him who sent me. My doctrine is not mine, but him who sent me. That's over in John 7, verse 16. This isn't my viewpoint. This isn't my opinion. I didn't come up with this, you know, because I studied hard. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, no, this isn't mine. I didn't come up with this. It's my Father's. My doctrine, my teaching is not mine. It's his. It's his. That needs to be the attitude of every single one of us. You see, we'd be walking in his footsteps, following his example. And sometimes, you know, you might not have anything to say. And you may be under pressure to give your opinion because people are waiting for you to respond. But we got to learn that if we don't have it, we don't have it. So I got nothing on that right now. Well, you know, I've had, you know, Jean has asked me a time. She says, well, what are we going to do about this? And I say, I don't like to say I don't know, because I do know by the Spirit of God who's in me. And I'll know when I need to know. So I'll just answer and I'll say, I'll let you know. I'll get back to you on that. Well, what are we going to do about that? Well, we'll see. I'll get back to you on that. I mean, if I don't know, we're not just going to come up with some kind of, well, we could try this. And just have an opinion about it. You understand what I'm saying? We want to be led by the Spirit. We gotta keep the Word of God as the final authority in our life. What does He say? What does God say about it? What does God say about whatever the subject might be? And I, again, get caught up in all the opinion giving that social media is full of. People love Facebook. They love telling their story. Let me tell you my story. My version according to how I see it. Everybody's been horrible to me. Everybody has been terrible to me. But I have remained strong. And I will not listen to the insults because I'm wonderful and I see myself as precious. That's sweet. It's just another opinion. Let's just go back to what the Word of God says. Then we don't have to get up and just blab. Let's go back. What does the Bible say? Can you say amen? You know, if we were really secure in what the Bible said about us, we'd never be threatened by how other people feel about us, by what other people say about us. You'd never be threatened by it because, you know, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. He's with me. Glory be to God. I've got a place in the family of God, in the house of the Lord. Man, Holy Spirit's my partner. If God be for me, who? Who can be against me? Well, these people, they don't like you. Did you hear what they said about you? It's like, okay. Did you hear what God said about me? And he's a little bigger than them. He's a little bit more important to me than them. Because, you know, people will, they'll look at you and they'll judge you and they'll criticize you one day, and then you'll do something and they'll think, hey, you're a great guy. They really like you. And then they'll think you're great for a few weeks. And then they'll start thinking, I don't know. I think he's kind of this. I think he's that. And then they start believing it. Then it goes from, I think that he's this, that he is this. Right? I mean, that's what happens. It turns into a pity. I mean, and then next thing you know, they're convinced of it, that you're a this and you're a that. And you're not a this or a that. You're that. You're still this. You've been this. But they don't see this. They don't see the Word of God. They just, it's amazing how you just, they're just, you know, you stay with an opinion long enough and then it becomes absolute fact and nobody could talk you out of it. You are so convinced of it. And next thing you know, you go off through life totally convinced of something that is completely false. Totally not the truth. Why? And why did that happen? Because the Word of God was not the final authority in your life, and now you're living in deception. Because you didn't make the Word, you didn't continue in the Word. No, I understand you're like the Jews who take bits and pieces of it, and I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking about in general. But there's like the Jews, they take bits and pieces of the word of God and they just form religious opinions about things. They don't continue in the word of God and really know the truth. They haven't made it their final authority. You see, for the word to work for you really to know the truth, it's got to be the final authority in your life, which means your opinion is out the window. Your opinion's out the window. I don't care about anybody's opinion. What does the word say? You got to build your life on the word. It's the final authority in your life. And everything that happens, you put it up against the word. And the people that thought they were sticklers of the word, I mean, they knew scripture. Trust me, the Jews knew scripture back in Jesus' day. But yet when Jesus came on the scene, all they could think about is killing him. They just wanted to kill him. And Jesus said, he said, you quote the scriptures, and they are what testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me. See, you're not seeing me in the light of the scriptures. See? You're seeing me as competition to your ministries. You're seeing me as you're seeing me as making you look bad because I'm getting people healed and you're walking around like a sourpuss. Not accomplishing a thing. So I threaten you. And so you're seeing me through your envy and through your pride and through your jealousy. You're not seeing me through the scriptures, even though the scriptures are testifying of me. I mean, the scriptures you say, you know, they're testifying of me, but you're not seeing that. Because even though you know the scripture, it's not the final authority in your life. Still, your opinion is the final authority in your life. And that's something that we have to be aware of. That we don't just have scripture, but it's not, our opinion is still the final authority in our life. How we feel about it is still really how it's going, how it is. How it looks to us is really how it feels to us is really how it is. Now we have the scriptures. We know what the scriptures say, and we can quote them and have a Bible study in our home. And we can teach people the Bible. But when it comes down to it, we start leaning on our opinions and our feelings as we go through life. Rather than, what does the word say? And if I don't have anything from God on it, I don't got anything on it. I said, if I don't got anything from God on it, I don't got anything on it. Amen. Now, you can get around some folks and discuss ideas, and we can share feelings about things, but it's not the final authority. The final thing is going to be what God says about it, how he directs us. And there's been plenty of things. You know, we sat down and we came up with ideas and things like that, and it was like, no, that's not what God wants. I remember one time, for example, we first started the church. I remember, the church just wasn't growing like you thought, you expected it to grow, But, God never, he never told me to make the church grow. He just said, go and do this. That's what he said. He said, you do this. So I was just doing what he told me to do. But then, I thought, I probably should be doing more. So then I said to God in prayer, I was praying. I said, Lord, I said, okay, I know what we'll do. And man, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. Went against everything in me. I didn't want to do it, but I knew I had to do it. It was the responsible thing to do. And I said, all right, Lord, I'll get Gene and we'll go out and at least once a week, we'll hit like this apartment complex over here and we'll go door to door and we'll share the gospel. We'll let people know that we're here, just get out there, do some advertising, share the truth with people, knock on doors like a Jehovah Witness would, So I said, we'll do it. We'll do it. And then I got quiet because I listened. After I said all that, I really believe that's what I was supposed to do. I mean, I kind of worked myself up into thinking, all right, God, I know what you want. And I'll do it. But then I got quiet. And then this came back to me. He said, not an audible voice, but just on the inside. The Spirit of God, you can discern. It's him. It's not your thought. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So when you have a thought that's not your thought, it's better than you. What I'm saying? I'm very much thinking this way, and then I have this thought that wasn't my thought. And it's his thought. And he said, is that what I told you to do? And God, many times he just asks questions, just like with Adam, the first conversation recorded with man was, where are you? You know, it's a question. Who told you, right? Just questions. He said, did I tell you to do that? I said, no, but it seemed like a good idea. You know, like, I mean, not that I liked the idea, but it seemed like a good idea. You know. And he said, you just do what I tell you to do. And I thought, well, Lord, that just seems too easy. And then the thought came, which was scripture. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I said, all right, praise God, I'm not going to do it. I felt like I got set free. You shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. Now, if I was just totally opinionated about it, say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Bless God, and I'm going to make everyone in the church do it too. We're going to go out there because I'm not doing it alone. We're all going to go out there and knock on doors. Now, if I just pushed that and I didn't listen to him, see, then I'd actually be doing more harm than good. I would be actually doing something that's not his will, so probably actually causing things to happen that shouldn't be happening. Giving people ideas about us and church and Jesus that maybe they shouldn't be getting. Wrong message is being delivered because the messengers have got it all wrong. But a lot of folks have pushed their opinion, their viewpoint, what they believe they're supposed to do, what is the religious thing to do. We got to come back to what is he telling us to do? What is he telling us to do? Just like that time with when it came to, I was out in Oklahoma and had finished Bible school. I was working as a youth pastor. There was no salary, but the Lord had spoken to my heart. He said, serve me full time. So I'm just feeding on the word of God, spending time with him, doing what I could to help the church. I don't see where the money's coming from, you know. And I got rent, and I got other payments and things coming up. Devil came swooping in one day. I was sitting on the balcony reading the Bible, my apartment. Devil came swooping right in. He started naming all the bills that are coming due. And he said, look at you. You're just sitting here doing nothing. And you got all these bills. Well, first of all, I wasn't doing nothing. I was doing what he told me to do. Studied to show myself approved unto God. I was still in training out there at that time, you know. And I was just like, what are you going to do? Well, that just kept coming. I tried to shake it off. I couldn't shake it off anymore. I said, bless God, I got to go get a job. I said, Lord, I'm going to get a job. I started to get dressed. I said, I'm going to go down there to the Delta Cafe. I'm going to get my job as a waiter because you get tips immediately, and I'll have money tonight. If they'll hire me tonight and train me or whatever, I'll get tips right away as soon as I get working. And so I'm getting dressed, but the whole time I'm getting ready to go to that interview, you know, getting ready to walk out, and I'm listening. And then this strong thought comes to me. He says, what are you going to work for? I stopped. I said, for money. He said, oh, I thought you were going to work for me. You can't serve two masters. Took my tie off. That was the end of it. I had to do what he told me to do. Or do my own thing to try to save my own life. Which would have, who knows where that would have placed me in his plan for my life. Would have set things back, would have put me on probably a wholly different course. See, it's a tough thing to follow. It's a tough thing to follow when you're looking at the natural. And you're looking and you're thinking, I have to do something. But thank God, we can find out what he wants us to do. We can be led by the Spirit of God. He will lead us in what to do. And again, knowing what God is saying, him speaking to us like that, like I've just illustrated, comes from knowing the general word of God first. You fill yourself up with his word right here. And just like right there, you can't serve two masters. Well, isn't that in the Bible? Can't serve two masters. See? What does the Bible say about it? We've had all kinds of things that, you know, we would have run and done and because you feel like you got to. That's what everybody else would do. I mean, you got to do this or else you're going to die or something else is going to happen. You got to move. You got to save your life. You got to do something now. But I recognize from the word of God, that's fear. I can't move in fear. That is not faith. I have to do this thing in faith or I can't do it. I got to do this thing by the Spirit of God or we just can't do it. And I've fallen on my face and just sit there and said, Lord, you know, I'm looking to you. I remember one time it was a desperate situation. And I got on my knees. I said, Lord, I said, I've, I don't know what else to do. I said, I've built my whole life on your word. I don't know what else to do. I haven't built it on man's wisdom, man's opinion. I can't just go do anything here. I gotta hear from you about this, or I can't do anything. And I never got any kind of, he never said anything to me, but that was our stance. We couldn't do anything else but what we felt the Spirit of God was leading us to do, which was nothing. And I just couldn't rush off into assuming something, because it all would have been done out of assumption, out of assuming, and pride, and fear. Just couldn't do it. So we just hung tight. And next thing you know, it all passed. We got delivered. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I've heard stories where God's told people, go to the emergency room and go now. And they jumped up and ran. And that's what they were supposed to do. So different people, you know, it's just, but it's following him.
Well, I said, it's up to I'm following him, because
you live probably more by your opinion than you realize. The more we build our life on the Word of God, and that is our final authority, and our opinions are out the window, when opinions rise up, we judge them. And say, wait a second, that's me. That's me. Shut up. No, you got to get good at this. Shut up. No, you want him to talk to you, you want to be led by him, then recognize when it's you talking. That's the first step into recognizing when he's talking. The first step to recognizing what God is saying, recognize what you're saying. And if it's just what you're saying, judge it as such. Say, well, this is just me. This is just what I'm saying. Don't we see it with the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul, he's writing these letters, and he says some things, and he says, now, this is me. This is what I say about it. Then he would turn right around in the next sentence, say something else, and say, but this is what the Lord says. This is not me. This is the Lord. And I don't know exactly where it is. I'd take you there right now if I knew exactly where it is, over in the book of Corinthians, I believe. This is the Lord. Now, this is me. This is my viewpoint, but this is the Lord. In fact, in one place over in Corinthians, I do have this one. 1 Corinthians 7, and I might run into the rest of it. I think it all is in the same area. 1 Corinthians 7. How many people get excited about judging their opinions? Recognizing your opinion and not giving it. Not giving it, right? How much is your opinion worth anyway? 2 cents? Thank you for sharing your 2 cents. Appreciate that. You know, you can't get much today for 2 cents. Can you get much for 2 cents? You can't get much for 2 cents. You don't have to share your 2 cents. It's not blessing anybody. So you got to just go back. You know, some of you can just kind of hit rewind and go back to this day and everything that you did say. And just examine what you said today. You know, was a lot of it based on the Word? Was it founded, grounded in the Word? Was there conviction of Holy Spirit? Or was it just how you feel about it? What you think about it? See? And if we're in a habit of just giving our opinion, it's going to become more and more difficult to really be led by what the Spirit of God is saying. What is he saying? And a lot of times, why would God tell you anything if he just remains quiet for a little while and you get it all figured out on your own? Did you catch that? See, if it's something that you're going to figure out, in other words, if he just goes quiet for a little while, Lord, I need to know about this. And he goes, okay, well, give me a few minutes. Because, you know, this is how I see it. And then you run off and you got it all figured out. You know what I'm saying? You really didn't wait to really hear from him about it. So did you really need to hear him tell you about it if you were able to figure it out on your own? which isn't really probably figuring it out at all. You follow what I'm saying? We got to catch ourselves. No, I'm not going to just run off my opinions and my feelings and stuff. And, you know, sometimes you have to hold them back. You know, sometimes, you got a strong opinion there. Ooh, I got something I want to share. Right? And then people actually look at you and go, tell us, what do you say? It's like, Oh, let me get a drink of water. It's like a fire shut up in your tonsils there. I gotta tell them how I feel about it. Got to tell them exactly what I think about it. Right? Just got to share. Got to share your feelings. Got to share your thoughts. You know, you might even be right. But yet you might be completely wrong in sharing what you're so right about. Because it might not be something you're supposed to share. It might not be what they need to hear. But it's the truth. Well, okay. It's scripture. I have scripture for this. Okay. But is it being done according to the scriptures? In peace. Peace, self-control, calmness, quietness, righteousness. Or is it being done, even though it's right, it's being done in the flesh. It's being done out of selfish motives to make you feel better or so you can straighten everything out. You're not the one to straighten everything out, Charlie. You know that? You're not the one to straighten everything out. He's the one who straightens it out. Man, that sets you free. That sets you free right there. Praise God forever. You don't have to figure it all out and you don't have to straighten it all out. Isn't that good? So, you know, I got so a hold of this that I just went dormant, you know, in saying some things. It's like I didn't have to say that. And this is years ago, you know, my wife and I, years ago, probably 20-something years ago. And I don't remember what it was, but it was something, and she said something, and I didn't say anything. And the Spirit of God said, are you gonna say something about that? I said, no, Lord. I said, You live inside her. You talk to her about it. You fix it. And he said, I'm going to fix it through you. I said, all right. I said, darling. And I shared what was incorrect and corrected the conversation. And, you know, she just went, a little tear welled up in her eye. She just received it so beautiful. It's like, praise God forever. I think about all the years prior that I was determined to make her see it, and she's got to get this, and it never was received. It was never received very well. It never, the rain never got in the ground. You know, the seed never got, just kind of ran off her. Right? and then I got a revelation. This thought came to me, and it was, you know, if you want to correct somebody, you probably shouldn't. But if you don't want to correct them, but you know you should, then you probably should. That's usually how it is. When you want to correct them, let me straighten you out right. That's probably the time to be quiet. Because you're in the flesh. You, it's about you correcting them for you, for your sanity, for your peace, for your happiness. You want to correct them. Wrong motive. It's got to be done in love. Right? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Love. We've got to do things in love. By the Spirit of God, it's by love. Peace and joy, see? So you see, you get this Word of God and it filters all that. You start recognizing your emotions. You recognize all this selfish stuff rising up. You recognize the pride. You recognize all this arrogance and opinions and all these things rising up. And you're just able to say, no, that is not God's way. I'm not going to do that. I'm not yielding to that. In Jesus' name. I really want to, but I'm not going to. So it's not right. If it's not right, then I'm not going to get the right results. I'm not going to get the right results. I want right results, don't you? See, I'm thinking of this scripture over here in James. Hold your place in Corinthians. James chapter 3 will help set you more free. Verse 13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." See, this is how it needs to be done. "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth." See, opinions. Being opinionated is really boasting against the truth, right? "This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic." So one of the things he's saying here is he's saying, listen, if you're feeling bitter and envy, it doesn't matter how right you may be in the matter. If it's coming from bitter envy and self-seeking, don't lie about it and act like it's God. It's just my righteous indignation. Because again, if it's righteous indignation, your flesh don't want to do it. You want to see righteous indignation? We've brought him up a couple times. Jeremiah the prophet, you know. He said, that's it. I ain't doing this anymore. I ain't gonna speak in his name anymore. I'm getting persecuted. I got all this stuff. He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, but his word was in me like fire shut up in my bones. And I couldn't hold it back. See? He didn't want to do it. But he felt compelled by the Spirit to do it. A lot of people want to do it. They want to fix people. People love removing the speck out of their brother's eye. They love doing that. And the more aggressive people are wanting to get the speck, and the more zealous they are about getting the speck out of somebody else's eye, it's a sure sign that they are boarded up. They got 2x4s. They got planks. They got all kinds. They're so determined. If they're determined to get that, if that speck just has to, I've got to get your speck. It's a guarantee they're actually blind. They're just blind. It's a guarantee. How do you know that? I got the Bible. You sound very positive. Oh, it's the Bible. It's scriptural discernment. Bible shows those things up. Shows it up every time. I don't know, this is blessing me. I hope this is blessing you. Some people, it looks like you're really getting free. It's like, wow, I'm feeling kind of light and bubbly. Other people like. The majority are bubbly, so I feel good. But again, I don't go by feelings how it looks. I don't go by how it looks. I've learned that a long time ago. Because I mean, there was meetings. I've had meetings where, you know, I have this guy looking at me the whole service. He's like this. It's like, dear Lord, why don't you just leave already, you know? It's obviously not blessing you, sour face. Just why don't you leave, you know? So I just preach along, you know? Wait, any minute, he's going to walk out. He's hung in the whole service. And this is really true. I'm thinking of somebody right now. And then I have the altar call. I said, now, if you want to get your life right, well, that guy comes running down to the front. And all the sweetie faces stood back there. They didn't come forward. And this guy comes running forward, and he starts crying. He gives his life to the Lord Jesus. Wow. The guy was under conviction. He was receiving the word of God. And I thought, my Lord, you can't judge things on how it looks. You know? Sometimes you look out there, it's like Motel 6, you know, the lights. The lights are on, but nobody's home, you know? It's like, you there? Did you hear? Yeah, Pastor. But you can know by the Spirit of God if people are getting it. You can tell by the Spirit of God. You really can, as you're flowing in the Holy Ghost. You can tell when people are not getting it. You can tell when they're like this. They're professional. And they're not there. I know they're not there because I don't go by there. I feel it in here. It's like I'm not getting any utterance for you whatsoever. I've had people come up to me so zealous, you know. Teach me about this. Tell me about this. Tell me this. It's like, now I got nothing. I can't even quote a scripture. It's like, my Lord, I feel like, what's wrong with me? You know, I've learned it's not me. They're not sincere. That's the problem. I'm like, I've done some teaching on online. Go online. I know I've taught this. I don't have anything. See? Because it comes out of here. It doesn't come out of here. See? And that's why you know when to stop. You know when to stop preaching too, because you could tell they're not getting it anymore. Just close the service. Services like this, I want to keep going. I have to make myself stop because you're actually very receptive tonight. It's very beautiful. Which is amazing. You're talking about presumption and pride and selfish ambitions, and you're loving it. This is beautiful. This is God, man. This is God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. It's exciting. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everybody say, bye-bye, opinion. We got to get rid of it. Got to get rid of the opinions. Don't just sit there and eat up other people's opinions. You get in the habit of just, what's your take on it? What's your take on it? It's like, I mean, do you really need to hear all that? You know? I mean, God's good. I just get enough. I just, hey, give me the headlines. Got it. Thank you. I'll figure it out. Thank you. Me and Jesus, we'll get it. We're going to analyze this. We're going to analyze. And I love these, you know, I love some of these history shows, you know. These history shows, they go back to like, you know, 50 BC and the Battle of Ugalaga. You know what I'm saying? Now, here's this, you know, like on the military channel or something, you know. Like Ugalaga, the battles of, you know, and it goes back to something BC, you know. And then you got these commentators. They sit there and they go,
see, he was very upset at his generals. And so he had a temper tantrum, and he was a man of rage. And I'm thinking,
how do they know? I mean, they know the details. This professor, he knows the details of Chief Mukahanka, something B.C., and they can't get President Trump right. See, you know what I'm saying? They can't get this senator right over here. They can't get this boss. They can't get somebody that's living right in front of them today right. They can't even get that story right. And they're going to tell me about Mukahanka back here in 50 B.C. And I mean, to the detail. He had a temper tantrum. He was a man of great passion. He was a man of great energy. And he was very skilled. And a lot of the people in the tribe, they did not. Oh, my goodness. Really? This guy's a storyteller. People look. Oh, they think it's history. They think it's history. It's like, you really think they know that? They don't know that. People can't even get me right. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I won't get into that one. I could have fun and go off on that one. That would make me feel really good. But I'm not going to do that because that's me. That's me. That's where I want to go right now. But I'm not going to do that. Love says, no, it's 8:11, and you stop, because love would stop. Because love knows they have to get up in the morning. Isn't that right? So God bless you. I'm going to just stop. Give you one more scripture. We'll end on the word, okay? No, let's do that maybe as a text next week. We'll see how that goes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, enough with my opinion. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.